Today I will be reading Acts 30 through 38. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can he?" he said. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized.
One of the things that we observe in the 8th chapter of Acts is that government officials have souls. Just like all of us do, right? It's possible for us to look down sometimes on those who are in leadership, but this passage is a great glimpse of what God is doing in the midst of people who are in positions of leadership in government. The Ethiopian was a government official who was in charge of the treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And the Holy Spirit had been leading Philip ever since he had been called as a deacon in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts. Now the Spirit was leading Philip away from Samaria, where he had been used by God to evangelize and perform miracles. An angel told him to go south to the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And while he was on that road, Philip spotted an Ethiopian riding in a chariot who's reading a scroll. It was the book of Isaiah. Verse 27 tells us that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So this person was working for Ethiopia's queen, Candace, and was in charge of the treasury. If he was worshiping in Jerusalem, it indicates that he was searching. The gods of Ethiopia were not real gods. So they were not able to meet the many, many needs of an individual like this Ethiopian eunuch. And so he had come to Jerusalem searching for God. And God's in control, as he always is. And so as we get into verse 29, we read that the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." You know, it's good for all of us to hear God give us direction. Are we asking for that? Are we listening for that? Is that coming to us? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is always talking to us and speaking to us and telling us where to go and what to do. And the question for you and me is, are we listening? But Philip was definitely listening. What we understand from reading this passage is that not everyone understands the Bible when they're reading it. But the Spirit was leading Philip to this man who was reading the prophet Isaiah. So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet and asked this question, "Do you understand what you are reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up into the chariot and sit with him. So one of the things that you see over and over again in this 8th chapter of Acts is how God, through the Holy Spirit, is leading Philip. So here's the passage that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to his slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" This passage can be found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 7 and 8. And so what the Ethiopian was wondering is the prophet talking about himself or about someone else? And what that should say to you and me is that it's good to ask questions when you're reading the Bible. What are some good questions that you can ask while reading the Bible. You can say to God, God, what is this passage telling me about you? Secondly, you can say to God, God, what is it that I should stop doing? And then thirdly, you can say to God, what is it that I should start doing? And then wait for God's answers, because God always has an answer for those questions. This passage in Isaiah communicates God's love for us in that he sent Jesus, the Messiah, to die for our sins. And so this passage in Isaiah is speaking to this Ethiopian and helping him to understand that someone died on a cross for his sins. So Philip dug right in, according to verse 35. He began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Acts doesn't go into detail about what Philip said, but this passage describes the Messiah being offered as a sacrifice like a lamb. So Philip must have spoken to this Ethiopian about how Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and for all of our sins. This expression, good news, is an important one. Euangelizado is where we get the word evangelism. It's a word that simply means to share the good news. So everyone in the room can be an evangelist, not just Billy Graham. Because you can share the good news about Jesus Christ with other people. It was Carl Henry who once said, the gospel is good news only if it arrives in time. And that's what's happening here in the 8th chapter of Acts, is that the gospel, the good news, is arriving just in time for the Ethiopian to be able to respond to it. Now, there are so many levels on which the gospel is good news for you and for me. The gospel tells us that God loves us. The gospel tells us that God has a calling for us. He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. But most of all, the gospel is telling us that God is offering to everyone the gift of eternal life. And so as we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, we are then prepared at that moment to follow God for the rest of the days of our lives and to know and to understand what God has prepared and planned for you and me to do. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, is there something good that God wants you to do tomorrow? Absolutely. And God already has it figured out. It's written down. He knows what it is. He's not surprised. Will we do it? That's the question for us every single day. Will we seek to discern what God's will is for you and for me so that we're ready to serve him tomorrow, the next day, the rest of our lives? So this is the beginning for the Ethiopian. And it says in verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Now at this point, you can begin to assume that one of the things that Philip told the Ethiopian about is that after you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that you should be baptized. He may have told him about the 3,000 people who had come to faith on the day of Pentecost and how those individuals were immediately baptized on that day. If you read the NIV, you will notice that there's an absence of verse 37. And some of you are perplexed by that. And some of you are not. Some New Testament manuscripts say that Philip gave a condition for the Ethiopian. And this is what he said to him in some of the transcripts that you will read. If you believe with all your heart, you may. In other words, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And then those transcripts also say that the Ethiopian responded, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so this is the conversation that many people believe they had as a response to seeing the water by the chariot. And so it was Philip's intention to make certain that the Ethiopian believed that he was trusting in Jesus Christ as his Savior and as his Lord. It's all about choices, isn't it? You get to make them every day. American Baptist Churches USA has so many things named after a missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson. He's one of the most famous people in our history, a 19th century missionary to Burma. You know, he didn't start out as a Baptist. He started out as a Congregationalist. And he and his wife Nancy were commissioned to be missionaries to the nation of Burma. So he was on the journey to Burma from Massachusetts, and Judson was reading the Bible, which is a good thing for you and me to do when we're traveling, because God's always speaking to us, and that's especially how he speaks to us, is through the Word. Adoniram Judson became convinced at that point that he should be immersed, that he should be baptized under the water, which is not how he was baptized as a child. And so when they came to India, he and his wife Nancy were baptized in the city of Calcutta by an associate of William Carey, whose name was William Ward. For Adoniram Judson, this became an important issue, not just because the baptism word means to dip or immerse, but because as he reflected on it, and he read all of the people who were baptized in the book of Acts, and all the people who were baptized in the Bible, they were all baptized because of a choice that they had made. It was their own personal decision, and not the decision of someone's mom or someone's dad. And so this conviction came upon Judson, and he and Nancy were immersed because of it. And this should communicate something very important to you and me. Everyone who has heard the gospel is given the opportunity to choose to accept it, to choose to reject it. And then once we've accepted it, we have the same choices in front of us, and that is, how are we going to follow Jesus? And baptism is one of the primary ways in which we demonstrate that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, according to verse 38, he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I always love this verse because there's no class. There's no 8 weeks of preparation. They just immediately baptize the Ethiopian. There's no waiting. And that's how it is throughout the New Testament. There's no waiting. People accept Christ as Savior and Lord, and then they're immediately baptized. You see it over and over and over again in the book of Acts. It's an amazing thought. And so as they came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, who's still in control of everything, took Philip away to Azotus, going through the various towns until he reached Caesarea. And so the Ethiopian didn't see him again. I don't think Philip gave him a baptism certificate. I think he just left. Just left the building. But the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. And we're left to wonder and to contemplate what happened when he saw Candace. What did he say to the Ethiopians when he returned to his own nation? What has happened to me? My life has completely changed. I've accepted Christ as my Savior and my Lord, and everything is now different because of that. I wonder if people came to faith in Christ in the nation of Ethiopia because of this man. That's what we see over and over again in the book of Acts, is how the gospel crosses over borders into other cultures and other countries and other nations and other languages, just as it's doing today. And people come to faith in Christ because of individuals like this Ethiopian. Now, the word for baptism, baptizo, means to dip or to immerse. But besides that word's meaning, there is an important message for us about what baptism symbolizes. We find it in the book of Romans. And we read this verse every time we baptize someone at Mount Washington Baptist Church. It says in verses 3 and 4 of Romans 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life." And so what those amazing verses are saying to us is that in the act of baptism, as you go under the water, all of your sins, all of your former life, everything you used to do that was not good is buried. Just as Christ was buried in the tomb. And then as you come up out of the water, you're demonstrating and symbolizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that you're living a new life. Coming to faith means that our old life is buried and our new life is raised with Christ. What an amazing thought that is, that God changes people in such a powerful way, that the old life is buried and the new life is raised. Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember how that transformed you? Do you give praise to God for that day in your life? You should, because it's an incredible experience to go under the water. And in just a little while, we'll have someone have that experience. And we'll rejoice and praise God because of it. And we thank God for Ting. And we look forward to seeing her baptized this afternoon. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing story of the Ethiopian. We give you praise, dear God, for how you change lives. And because of changed lives, other lives are changed as well. Today, Lord, we give you thanks for those being baptized in the river and those, Lord God, who have been baptized already, who are worshiping here this day. We praise you, Lord, for the changes that you've made in our lives, and we ask your grace to be with us as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 460, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." If you have a need for prayer, for healing, we invite you to come to the front and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you. Please stand.